Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schulteis.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and we have a very, very special show for you today. We have Los Angeles Angel pitcher Mitch Stetter, who is currently rehabbing with the Salt Lake City Bees. We've got a live interview with him you're not going to want to miss. And then also, we've decided to give you a treat this week. We've had a lot of requests for people that did not get to hear the Mike Berger and Mike Ballinger Glory Days segments, and we're going to rebroadcast those for you in a special Glory Days look back this week. So stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss it. And when we come back from the commercial break, we'll be talking to Mitch Stetter. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
A hamburger, no, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we're joined by Los Angeles Angels pitcher, Mitch Stetter. Mitch, how's it going?
Pretty good, Joe. How about yourself?
We're not doing too bad here at the Coach K and Joe Show, but, we've been following Mitch Stetter, you know, since spring training, and we've noticed that at the beginning of the year, spring training, you had a little setback that kind of hindered your progress as far as being with the big leagues at first. And why don't you tell us a little bit about that and how you've progressed?
Yeah, I started the spring training with a bulging disc in my back, so didn't get off to the best start with the new team. But, I got healthy towards the end of camp and threw in a few games before spring training broke and ended up breaking with the Salt Lake Bees. And so out here in Salt Lake City playing with them and their AAA affiliate. Things are going pretty good lately. Kind of my spring training's been basically the first month of the season because, you know, obviously not getting a good start during, in February and March and getting healthy there at the end. And I'm starting to feel like myself here lately.
You know, you were a member of the Brewers for quite a few seasons there, and then you've transitioned to the Angels. And what is some of the differences that you know between the two programs, the two teams? Do you see much of a difference, or is a professional team a professional team?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot of difference. You know, obviously, you know, being with different teammates and different coaches and stuff like that, but for the most part, you know, it's the same game. You know, it's just going out and grinding every day and getting ready every day to play a baseball game. But as far as the two organizations, basically pretty similar for the most part.
and you're with the Salt Lake City Bees, and you know you got a 3-0 record, you got a save. Where are they primarily using you as a setup man, or exactly what?
Yeah, I mean, just you know, as a situational lefty, mostly you know, coming into games when you know there's lots of lefties coming up, or left, right, left, or you know those situations like that. So you know, sometimes it's a close game. You know, if I haven't thrown in a few days and it's a blowout game, I'll still throw an inning. And we really don't have any set roles in this bullpen right now. So just as for myself, it's, you know, they usually try to get me in there to face lefties because that's what I'd be doing in the big leagues.
Okay, and you know, your big league team is the Los Angeles Angels, and you know, they sit at 11-22 right now on the season, 2-8 their last 10 games. You have Houston in their division, so that always helps because the Astros aren't very strong this year. But have you been able to follow the Angels a whole lot, or are you busy taking care of business at Salt Lake City?
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know, we turn games on in the clubhouse and stuff like that and watch them when we can. You know, obviously, you guys here have friends that are up there, and, you know, we keep good tabs on them. And they've actually lost just 2 in a row to the Astros. You speak of the Astros, and they've lost the last 2 to the Astros. So they're really struggling right now and, you know, have a really good team. But you know, things just aren't going well. And sometimes, you know, you might have the players and everything to have a good team. But, you know, baseball is a funny game. And they're in a bit of a slump here to start the season. So kind of digging themselves a hole. And hopefully they can crawl out of it and, you know, get back to winning games. And you know, we'll see what happens. So we'll hopefully they can get it back going.
Now, you know, when you were with the Brewers, when we last talked to you, we talked about some of the players that impressed you with the Brewers, and, you know, you had talked about your time with CC Sabathia and some other players, and with your time at spring training, I know you were hurt there, but who are some of the Angels that impressed you with their work ethic and you know, the way they focused on the game?
You know, I mean, a lot of them do, you know, everybody works hard. You know, it was fun, you know, kind of meeting Mike Trout and seeing what he did last year. And, you know, he's a 21-year-old kid and just all smiles every day. You know, you see him on the field and he's always laughing and smiling. And that's how he was in the clubhouse. You know, he came in and, you know, doing his work and just always having fun and smiling and stuff like that. And, you know, watching those guys that are elite like Pujols and Hamilton and Trout, you know, come in and do their stuff, you know, it was fun. It was fun to be around, and, you know, hopefully I can get back up there and you know, start playing with them again like spring training.
Now, I do know, you know, major league teams have additions and subtractions, but I do know that the Stetter family has had an addition, right? Is there another Stetter son or
we
daughter?
We have two, yeah. We have two little boys now, so, he's close to 9 months now, and then CeCe's almost 22 months, so we got two little ones running around, and it's a lot of fun. I haven't seen them in a while, though, but you know, hopefully that'll change here pretty soon.
Yeah, now instead of uprooting them to Salt Lake City, you know, what do you guys do when you're on a minor league team where your presence with the team is uncertain, you know, any day Los Angeles could call up and you could go up there.
Yeah, that's the hard part, and that's what we were deciding, like, what to do. And we ended up, my wife and kids are in Chicago staying with her parents, and, you know, the kids are kind of on their schedule and, you know, kind of have that, you know, normalcy of a normal life, like waking up every day and stuff. Obviously, you know, if they were in Salt Lake, it would just be another kind of strange place for them, and they would be there for a while, and then who knows, you know, if I, you know, get called up, sent down, released, or, you know, anything can happen, you know, while you're playing. So it's just the uncertainty of playing baseball, and we just figured we'd kind of get them on a normal schedule and stay in Chicago and then have them come visit a few times during the year. So haven't seen them yet this year, and hopefully that changes real soon.
Now, you know, you're not the only Stetter pitcher around the area. Yeah, it's making a name for himself. Brother Luke's having a fine season with the Raiders. Are you able to keep up with him at all?
Yeah, my parents text me and stuff and stuff like that, and then I'll talk to Luke every now and then to see how things are going. But yeah, they try to keep me updated, and I'll hear from a few people from back home. We'll send a nice text or something and say that he's doing well. And so, you know, I'm proud of him. I wish I could come back and catch a game, but unfortunately, that's not in the cards.
Well, we'll have to talk to Kurt Gooksell, and if, when he does it, next Raider game, he'll have to ship it over to you so you can at least listen to one. So
yeah,
doing a great job.
Yeah.
So. Well, Mitch, I'll tell you what, we don't want to take a whole lot of your time. We know you're a busy man with playing Major League Baseball. Actually, though, you haven't been to Bourbon Street, have you? I do know that you're currently in New Orleans.
No, actually, it kind of makes everybody mad. They changed our team hotel. We used to be downtown right next to Bourbon Street, and now they moved us out like 20, 25 minutes away. So a lot of the guys aren't too happy about that. But
yeah.
But we'll survive. We'll survive. And, yeah, I've been down there quite a few times before, so I don't need to go back.
Well, Mitch, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, and we hope to see you on ESPN pitching for the Los Angeles Angels real soon.
Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. And when we come back, we'll have an – yeah, thank you. And when we come back, we'll have an interview, actually a rebroadcasted interview with one of our most popular interviews with Jasper athlete Mike Ballinger. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
The drivers out there, if you smell a delicious crispy smell after the race, it's not your tailpipe, it's a little bit of shake and then bake. Shake and bake! That's what you're saying!
Get used to hearing it!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and we are now joined by what I consider one of the greatest athletes to ever wear the Jasper Wildcat uniform, a guy who made people around him, including me, people think they were better athletes than they really were because he was on the court or the field with us, Mike Ballinger. Mike, how you doing?
Great, guys. Hey, thanks for being on. I appreciate you guys reaching out to me, and I've enjoyed so far listening to the show and looking forward to it.
Well, Harry, as we fondly called you and in high school, it's great to have you, and we've been looking forward to having you on the show because you are one of the former athletes in the area that people ask about. And so when they talk to me, well, you played with Mike Ballinger, what's he doing now? And I'll say, well, I think he's here and talk a little bit about that with him. But for those people listening and going to be listening on our podcast, before we get into your career in high school and college, and where's Mike Ballinger today and what's going on in your life?
I am living in Columbus, Ohio. I've been here, let's see, my oldest is four. So I've lived here 16, 17 years in Columbus, married with two kids. I got an eighth grade boy and a fourth grade boy. So do some real estate, own and manage commercial and condo and apartments for myself and also some clients, so I stay busy with that. But, you know, the good thing, I got a wonderful wife, got two great boys, both of them play, I would think probably baseball is both their favorite sports, both of them right now. They also play football and basketball, but I think probably baseball. If you said, hey, what would be your favorite sport for these two kids, I think they'd tell you baseball.
Well, that's really exciting. I knew that you were in Columbus and you were married and some of your business ventures and things that were going on, but I did not know about the two youngsters, and that's awesome. They've still got some years to get better and improve. And speaking of that, you're now a dad. You've got a couple of youngsters that you're bringing up, and obviously you were a pretty good student, Mike. You weren't a slouch in the classroom, outstanding athlete. I know your dad, Hugh Ballinger, loved you. He used to call you Mick, and I know he spent a lot of time with you and took you to the softball and different things he did and spent time with you throwing that football and that baseball and those types of things. Are you able to find time with your boys the same way?
I am. I coach – both my boys play travel baseball, and I coach them for that. And you know, we don't travel very far. We go to, you know, some of the other communities in the area and play. But, you know, I appreciate the words Michael said before he signed off a while ago. And it's funny because he talked about, you know, having someone to look up to. And, Kenny, you'll remember this, and Joe too, because, you know, when we were kids, there wasn't anything better to do except to go see the high school teams play, whatever sport they were playing, football, basketball, baseball. And, you know, with your dad being the head coach when we were 6th, 7th, 8th grade, you know, that's all we did. We'd go to the old gym, watch the high schools. You know, I remember, you know, talk about people that you wanted to be when you were in 5th grade, 6th grade, was your brother, Brad Vogel, Slick Weber, Kevin Manley. You know, those guys in the early 70s to, you know, obviously until we got in high school in the 80s, late 70s. It was such an important thing in my life to be a part of sitting there watching those guys play basketball, watching, you know, Mike Loftus, Tony Ahrens, Mike Meyer, you know, all those guys that played football, and, of course, all the guys that played baseball. So it's such a huge thing in my life, the high school sports atmosphere in Jasper. It was everything to me. And, you know, I try to teach that to my kids just from a standpoint of, hey, if you want to play, you know, let's go out and practice, let's take some BP, let's throw the ball. And it's been really fun watching my two kids play baseball and some other sports.
Yeah, and you know, Mike, you make a great point, and we try to talk about this weekly on our show, the importance of people getting out whenever they can, and especially in the smaller communities, to watch these high school players and make connections with them. And, I mean, there's so much college and pro on TV, and you can make a connection, but you can't make the same physical connection and personal connection as you can with the high school players that are in your community. And even my brother Don and John, and who are up in the Indianapolis area, as their kids were coming through, connecting with the high schools that they were going to go to, and now they're in high school and just watching those play. It's just a great way for those young men to like Michael said, set a goal, want to shoot like that, want to play, handle the ball like that, and so on and so forth. And I know when we were growing up, and in high school playing together, and obviously there wasn't a young boy and even a young girl, because girls basketball was starting to get going, who didn't want to emulate Mike Ballinger out on the court or out on the pitcher's mound or at the home plate or throwing a football. When you think about that time, Mike, I think a lot of people would want to know, how when you look back at that, how did you feel then, and how do you look at that now, that you had so many people looking at you and looking up to you?
Well, I don't know if I ever really thought about it when it was actually happening. I just remember, and again, this is so important because I think of your brother Jim and Brad Rogel and Slick and Kevin Manley. And, you know, I hated that I missed the anniversary because Slick was able to send a bunch of pictures, and, you know, you get a chance to see Coach May and, you know, all the good things he did for me when I played for him, and of course, Coach Brewer and also Coach Howard. I mean, when I think about my high school coaches I had in those three sports, I don't know if anybody was lucky enough to have as three great coaches as I did. I mean, you think about what Coach Brewer accomplished for football, and Coach May was great for me, and, of course, Coach Howard did a great job with the baseball program. I just, You know, the thing that I hate the most about now, it seems kids want to specialize and maybe just play one sport. You know, I remember playing football, and the game would be over on Friday. The season would be over. You know, Joe and I, maybe, you know, we finished 8-2 or whatever we finished. We didn't make the playoffs. And that next morning, it was basketball practice time. You know? And as soon as basketball was over, you know, if we lost in the sectional or the regional, whatever it was, that next Monday, guess what? Baseball started. So I don't remember ever really, until my senior year, I don't remember ever really going home one day after school. You know, it always seems like there was a practice of some type. And I think that was, you know, what my dad kind of pushed, and I loved every second of it. I truly loved to play baseball. I loved to play basketball. I loved to play football. The competition part was so great. You know, you think about beating the other teams in the county in basketball or football or baseball. That was huge. That was everything. You know, it was just the most important thing. And, again, it was because when you and I and Joe and everybody else was 8, 9, 10, 11, we'd go watch these guys who were juniors and seniors in high school. You know, the Danny Smiths, the Mike Loftus, the Tony Aarons, you know, your brother, Brad, all those other guys. I mean, you just you wanted to be those guys. You know, you wanted to be a part of Jasper High School football or Jasper High School baseball or basketball. That's what you wanted to do. You grew up, and, you know, I tell people now, that, you know, when they find out I played basketball in Indiana, they're like, and I'd say, oh, man, we had a gym that seat 5,000 people, man.
Yeah.
You know, we'd have, you know, and they look at you like, really? Because I go to games all the time here, and, you know, gym seats 800-900 people, and there might be 30 students there, and there might be, you know, the parents and maybe a few other things. It's just not the community feel that it is in Jasper, and that's everything. I mean, I just think it's so, you know, as great as it is, the community that we live in now, it would be so great for my kids, my two boys, to see what it would like to be in, you know, a Jasper or somewhere where the high school is just everything. I mean, academically it's important. The teachers are important. The sports, the coaching, it's just, you know, I mean, it was so, everything that I accomplished later on in life is because of the experience I had in high school at Jasper. There's no question.
Well, you know, Mike, one of the things that you just went over and talked about is one of the points I wanted to talk about with you, and that is you played multiple sports, but you also would play slow pitch softball. You'd go bowling. You'd go out and hit the tennis ball. I mean, there was a constant flow of some type of physical activity and competition when we were growing up. And the multiple athletes were great athletes, but they were great players in their sports as well. And I think back, Michael Lewis played several sports. Scott Rowland played several sports. These are guys I coached. I played with you. You played several. I guess the correlation I'm trying to make is that too many people think, well, I'm going to concentrate on baseball, I'm going to concentrate on basketball, I'm going to concentrate on football. But playing multiple sports at a young age is great for you mentally and great for you physically. And as you said, there weren't many days that you probably said, I don't want to do this. It was just, we're going on to the next thing and we're going to compete.
No, I loved every second of it. Kitty and Joe, you know, The biggest thing about this, and I don't want to say I've had arguments, but I've talked to, I mean, I've lived in 7 or 8 different states doing some different jobs, and I've met a lot of coaches in different states, and, you know, almost all of them talk about specializing, and I come back to this. You know, you could go to a high school game today anywhere in DuBois County, and you'll see those kids who maybe only play just basketball. They've been practicing basketball. They played AAU in the summer. Fall came and they ran sprints and they lifted weights and they shot free throws and three pointers. But you can watch them and they will make some of the same mistakes on the floor that we made 30 years ago when we played. So yeah. I don't know if the specialization part is really paying off as greatly as maybe these coaches are telling these kids or telling the parents. Because I can't tell you how proud I was to play football and then turn around and play basketball and turn around and play baseball and, like you said, play for, you know, with B&G in the summer times and all the youth teams that we played on doing that kind of stuff, because you were just part of Jasper. You were part of the community. And I'm not saying kids who play just basketball. I'm not trying to be negative towards that. But the experiences you get, I just feel like it would be better for me as a 17-year-old kid to play in front of 2,000 people tonight in a basketball game instead of going to a baseball cage and hitting 50 balls off a tee.
Well, I agree with you, Mike, and even when I was coaching and a player would come to me and say, I'm thinking about not playing this and just working on basketball, I would say that's a great goal, and that would be wonderful if you really would be able to spend the time. Most kids, if they give something up, they really don't put in the amount of time that you really need. They're better off playing that other sport, being mentally tough, working those muscles, competing, playing with other players.
You learn to compete against.
That's right.
You're competing against, this great team out of Evansville or this great team out of Terre Haute or Southridge or Dubois or Forest Park. You're competing against kids who really want to beat you. So they're fighting you for everything. And that just, to me, carries over to that next sport you're going to play. Because you're used to, playing these kids, and you're like, you know what, we beat these guys in basketball. I don't want them beating us in baseball. We got to beat them in baseball, too. And I think that it just carries over and just makes the high school experience so much better.
Well, Mike, looking back at our playing days, I keep thinking about left field and being one of the most boring positions to play when Mike Ballinger was pitching. Unless there was a left-handed batter, because there was never any balls ever hit out there. So had a lot of time to daydream and, et cetera. But I have a question.
But you were such a good hitter, so maybe you were thinking about hitting all the time when you were out in the outfield. So maybe it ended up paying off for you.
I don't know. I think I always had that Coach Howard, what was it, the belt for the bunt? God forbid.
You know what?
They called you Mendoza as a nickname, Joe.
Joe, think about this. Think about how many times, depending on who was leading off, either you or Bo, think about how many times you got or Bo got on first, and then Coach Howard would give us the bunt sign, and the next guy would bunt, and we would be first and third with nobody out in the first inning.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we bunted up the third baseline, third baseman would charge, nobody would cover third, and whoever was going from first to second would just keep on going to third. We'd be first and third, nobody out, almost every first inning of the game.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It was amazing how many times we did that.
But
see, what you guys are talking about right now is what we hope our young athletes are thinking about as they play and then go through. And that's not just playing the game, but what it takes to be successful in the game and understanding what your coaches are trying to do and understanding what your teammates are trying to do. And I think that's what's interesting about the conversation we're having with you, Mike, is because you still look at the game not just in competing for the score, but how the game is played and what you're trying to accomplish in the game.
Well, I had great coaches. I had a great father. It's funny that you talk about doing different things. I mean, we're all old enough now that we remember when, cable TV was six or seven channels. know, and there wasn't video games. There wasn't iPhones. There wasn't iPads. So if you were inside, there really wasn't anything to do. So you better get outside and shoot and throw the ball up in the air and try to catch it and go play wiffle ball. Now my sons want me, they want to call and see if some kid is home so they can go play. Well, we used to go outside and knock on doors.
Yeah.
And say, hey, let's get nine guys or let's get eight guys and play wiffle ball 4-on-4. And now, they're like texting each other, seeing what they're doing. It's just a totally different time. And I think kids are taking advantage of some of those things and becoming good athletes and so forth. But it was just such a different time in how you organized and became friends with people. It's totally different.
Well, I know this, that there's a lot more parental involvement in putting your kids into organized things instead of just letting them go out and play and hit balls off the – throw tennis balls off the side of a building and hit rocks into the next parking lot and just do those.
Catch it. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's totally a different time. It really is.
Hey, Mike,
I want to brag on you a little bit. This is called our Glory Days segment, and you were a great athlete. I'm going to start with basketball just so our listeners can understand a little bit. You're an Indiana All-Star, 30 or more points six times as a player in high school, 47 points in a game, which is the second most, versus Southridge, one of our great rivals at the time. Maybe the only player to lead the Cats in scoring three straight years, averaged 21 points as a junior, 25 points as a senior, one of maybe three or four guys to ever average over 20 points in two consecutive years, 20 or more points 40 times in 73 games, 1,431 career points, 86% career free throw percentage. I mean, I can go on and on and on in basketball, but let's start there. You live the dream of a Hoosier high school boy. A great basketball in front of 4,000, 5,000 people, games against the best teams in the Southern Indiana, Terre Hautes, the New Albanys, the Evansville schools. Just a great opportunity to excel on the basketball court.
You know, you think about it, and I appreciate you saying those things. You think about, like, and you guys can catch me up. Are the kids playing at the high school now? What happened to the gym? I know the gym collapsed or something. Where are they playing their games now?
They're playing at the old high school gym that a number of people redid. Beautiful floor.
Sure,
unfortunately, the crowds aren't what they should be, but it's a great place to play basketball, and they'll be in a new facility next year.
Well, I mean, I appreciate it, but I can remember, I think I'm saying this right, our freshman year we went half to the old school, and then the second semester we went to the new. Is that right, if I remember that right?
Yeah, that's correct, when we were freshmen.
Yeah, so, I mean, I remember some of the games Mark Block had my freshman year at the new gym because we just opened that up. And, you know, again, I say this, and I played all the time. You know, I know I played – I talk about playing three sports, but every chance I got when I was a little kid, I shot the ball. And you know, Barkley always said this on TV, and it's true, and it was true with me. You know, you can score a lot of points if you shoot a lot. So, you know, I did my fair share of shooting a lot during games. But, you know, practice is practice, and it's the experience of just playing in front of that many people, knowing that it was that important to the people in the community for us to beat Southridge and for to beat Du Bois and to beat Forest Park and to beat New Albany and Tell City and Princeton and, you know, all those teams that we played every year. It was you knew growing up, and again, Kenny, I say this because watching, you know, you and I sitting there when we were in fifth grade, sixth grade, watching your brother and Slick and Kevin and some of those other guys play and Terry Tucker and all those guys, it was you could just tell even then as a fifth grader, if you were lucky enough to be on the high school team at Jasper, hey, man, this is important. You know, this is important to go over to Honeyburg and win the sectional. It's important. You know, I can remember all those right around Christmas time. We always played Boonville on Friday and played Southridge on Saturday.
Yes.
And you were like, you know what? This is important to win both of these games because guess what? We're going to have 35, 4,000 people there. They're going to be cheering in the student section. I mean, you think about our juniors. I don't know. I don't remember if it was all 3 years, but especially our senior, all the guys who didn't play basketball, that played football or played whatever, they dress up like the Army and show up for the games.
Yeah, they got involved, Mike. They were part of the team
and traveled
with their own identity, and yet we were all one.
Those 70 students, you know, all the guys that we knew that we were friends with would dress up, and they'd go to Evansville games, or they would come to Terre Haute, or they would drive to wherever, and just that support alone was. And you just, but you knew that as a kid, you knew that as a sixth grader sitting at the old gym, watching these guys play, you knew that it was important to be as good a player as you could be, and to help the school win basketball games because it was important. I mean, it was important to the community, it was important to the school, it was important to the students, and that was so great. That was the greatest thing about growing up in Jasper, how important the school and the sport programs and the academics, how important it was to the community. It was everything. I mean, I say this, and it's the truth. It was everything to me to be a part of the football team, the basketball team, the baseball team, because it was so important in the community, and that was what was so great about the experience.
When your classmates, the Army group that followed the basketball team, when they put their money in and pay to have a pre-sectional dinner for your team,
right,
you know you've got something unique and something exciting.
Do you remember when they would walk down the steps at the sectional, or they would walk down the steps maybe at Evansville Rice or Evansville Bossy or Terre Haute or wherever we played? You were just like, you would almost like warm-ups senior year, you were like, okay, when they coming? And then they would show up, and you could hear this noise in the crowd because the first – 5 or 6 guys had been spotted, and everybody knew, okay, another 50 guys are going to follow these guys, and they're all going to be dressed the same, and they're all going to be yelling and screaming and raising hell against the referees and the opposing team, and you knew that they supported you and had your back, and that was everything. I mean, that's what Jasper, the community, was about, and that was the great thing about it.
And to those listening who will listen that aren't on a team, you're listening to two guys who were on that team, and we were just as excited for those guys to come in and support us as we were getting ready for that game.
It
meant that much to be
a
community together.
It was as important as playing the game. It was as important as playing this game as those guys showing up and doing everything they could to help us win. It was everything. And, you know, Coach May was great in how he, you know, treated them and talked to them during the – like if Coach May or someone else saw him in the hallway maybe on a Monday after a big win on Saturday, I remember him saying things to the kids about, hey, we appreciate your support. Thanks for being there. If, you know, if you had a class with Coach May, he and some of the kids were part of it, he'd say that thing. I mean, it was. And your dad could tell the same thing. You can remember how great the crowds were in the 70s at the old gym, all the students there. It was the best thing about being an athlete at Jasper High School was support you got from the parents, from the people in the community, and of course, especially the students.
You know, I always have to brag on the class of 81. I always thought there was extreme school spirit there, because what other class would have half the crowd at the tennis semi-state one year, almost
right,
threatened to be thrown
yeah.
out because we were cheering and we didn't know
exactly.
You weren't allowed
I mean,
to cheer.
And you know, I do go to, you know, some of the high school games of the school where probably my kids are going to go to high school, and you know the students are involved and they dress up a little bit and that kind of thing, but it's not. You know, again, maybe it is because there's more things to do, and maybe kids are doing other things, and so on and so forth. But it was a great, it was everything. It truly was. It brings back wonderful memories when you think about it.
Now, Mike, I have a question from a listener, and then also I've got someone who's called in that would like to talk to you.
Of course.
First, the question. It's from Kevin in Jasper. You played in a lot of great games in your career. What are a few that stick out in your mind most?
Well, obviously, winning the sectional was wonderful. Kenny mentioned this already. The Southridge game we won at home our senior year was wonderful because the crowd was huge. And I don't know what it is now, but there's no question that Southridge was our biggest rival then. And, of course, you know, Kenny can remember this, the Friday night game against Dubois that we came back. Kenny hit a big shot. Mike Berger, I think, maybe made a steal and hit a big shot. We beat Dubois, and then the next night beating Southridge for the second time that season. You know, those three games, just because, again, how much I knew and Kenny knew and all the other guys and his brother Don and you know, some of the other guys on the team, Mike Berger, Dean Murder, those guys, you just knew Bobby Pope. You just knew how important it was the community to, you know, to beat Dubois, to beat Southridge. And that was, you know, that weekend beating Dubois on Friday and beating Southridge on Saturday in the sectionals, it probably is as good as it gets.
Okay, and I got a caller, a regular caller to the show, one Slick Weber would like to talk to Mike. Slick, you're
hey,
on with
Slick, how you doing, man?
Pretty good, Mike. Really missed you last Saturday or a couple of Saturday nights ago.
I hate that I missed it. And you know what? It was so funny. The first time you sent that, you sent the email, I never knew what your damn name was. I always thought it was Slick. And I got this email, and I said, who is this David Weber guy? Who is this? But you know what? I hope you've been listening, and I truly mean this. I don't know if I've ever told you this, and occasionally I see Kevin Manley. It's been a long time. And
right.
When you guys were playing your junior, senior year, remind me of some of the guys who would have played a lot those 2 years, the Kenny and I, and you know, all guys who would have been, you know, 7th, 6th, 8th grade at that time. Who were some of the other guys that played with you?
Mike, that's so kind of you to say so nice words about Kevin and I. Oh, Tommy Nicholson and Al Sang, Mike Leger, Tommy Berger, Mike Teich, all those guys.
Oh,
they were
Tommy
just
Berger,
terrific.
I can't believe. Well, I remember, was Mike a little bit older than you or younger?
Mike Leger's?
Mike Teich.
Mike Teich was 2 years younger. He was the same age as Mike Leger's.
Okay,
so he was 2 years younger than I was. He graduated in 1974. So
I mean,
you
think about
saw
all the
a lot
great,
of them.
Yeah, you think about all the great Leaguers guys that played at Jasper. You know, that was a time, Slick, I remember, and a kid. I mean, I even remember, and Kenny would remember this too, there was a 2 or 3 year period where you guys played in the semi-state at Evansville, because I remember as a little kid going to Roberts Stadium.
Right. Well, my senior year we made it to the semi-state, and then the following year, when Leaguers was a junior and Tommy Berger and Mike Trice and those guys, they went down there. They went with back-to-back years. Tommy Berger hit a fadeaway against Southridge to win the sectional. It was about 9 or 10 seconds to go. They were down by a point. But anyway, the reason I called in, Mike, and I appreciate all you said about, you know, the guys you looked up to, and you included my name. That's awful nice of you. But I know you're going to touch on this, Kenny, Coach K. Saturday night, Southridge sectional, final game, the greatest fourth quarter performance I've ever seen in my life, and nobody's ever touched it. I was sitting on the opposite side of the student section, and I'm getting chills now. And when that buzzer went off and all those students came flowing down like one big wave to hit the floor, wow, was that special.
And you know what, Slick, you guys, all the guys who played before, I appreciate you saying that, but all the guys who played before me and Kenny had a lot to do with how that happened, because when you're a little kid and you go over to Huntingburg, and I mean, I remember my dad standing in line to get tickets, and maybe we weren't even going to get tickets because the demand was so high for sectional tickets. You know, I can remember going over to Huntingburg as a little kid with my dad, and we didn't have tickets because he didn't get, you know, whatever they called it, however they did the lottery or whatever it was. And we would buy tickets from guys, maybe, you know, like somebody lost, and so we'd buy tickets. So when you're a kid and you see that, and you see, I don't even know, what's Huntingburg seats? 6,000? Whatever it seats. You know, I have six, whatever. And you can see, it's full, and there's people everywhere, and they're screaming and yelling, and all the players are down on the floor, and the lights are bright. And you're 9, 10, 11 years old, and you see that, you think, well, man, I got to be involved in this. I got to do whatever I can to be Kevin Manley, to be Slick Weber. And so it was so important, and especially with my sophomore and junior year by not winning, it was so important to win senior year. So you just, you know, and I know Kenny felt that way because of the way he played the night before against Du Bois, and then again that Saturday night, how well we played against Southridge. It was so important for us to win that night. It really was.
I tell you what, that Friday night game, you know, and I know you know this, you know, you fouled out, and those other guys stepped up huge. Kenny
it was everything.
Dean Murder, and Mike Berger made that big steal you're talking about.
You talking about Mike Stewart, Dan Ackerman, Bobby Pope, Berger made a great, Kenny hit a great deep shot from, I don't know if it was from the wing or the corner. I mean, you can't, and that's the other great thing about basketball. You know, we're talking about other sports, but all five guys, you know, whatever part it takes, if it's a key rebound, a steal, a block shot, you know, it takes everything for it to happen. It's wonderful.
Coach K, I will get off so you can talk to him because I didn't want to take up your time.
We always love talking to you, Slick. I just wanted to add on that. It was an incredible performance by Mike, especially coming off that tough game against Du Bois where he was in foul trouble and fouled out. And, you know, you're sitting there, I'm sure, Harry, you were sitting there thinking, we got to find a way to win this game. This is not how we want to end. But I can tell you on the floor, when we would huddle up, we would say to each other, we're not going to let him go out this way. We're going to find a way to get this win, and we're going to win this sectional tomorrow night. And, you know, I had a regional championship as a coach and some sectionals and all-star players. But one of the most important pictures that sits on my wall in my basement is the seniors from that 1981 team after we won that sectional, holding that sectional trophy and taking that picture. It still resonates with me because you gave everything you had and everybody gave everything they could bring to the game, some less than others. I obviously wasn't near as talented as Mike or a number of those other guys, but you gave everything you had for the common goal for the community, and that was to win that sectional championship.
Absolutely, and I want to echo what Kenny said earlier, Mike. When I was making these phone calls to people for the 100-year anniversary thing, so many people asked, did you get a hold of Ballinger? Did you get a hold of Ballinger? Is he coming? So people still, you know, remembers how great you were. And, man, I tell you what, I'll never forget how great you were, man. You were a terrific ball player. And,
I appreciate that very much. I just hope you understand the group of guys that you played with in the 70s, and I've said this before, but how important you guys were to get me to be that player in high school, because that's all I did. I mean, the most important – I don't think I ever missed a game.
Nobody missed a game, Mike.
I mean, we would drive – I can remember driving to Terre Haute watching you guys play. I can remember driving to Boonville. I can remember driving – everywhere. You know, I can remember if we couldn't go, we sat and listened to Wits on the radio and listened to it.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it was
huge. It was everything.
You know, you guys were talking about it earlier, how different it is now, people specializing, and, well, we could talk all night on that stuff.
Oh,
and,
I know.
So next time you come to Jasper, call me up, I'll call Kenny up, we'll talk all night about basketball.
Absolutely. Hey, appreciate it very much.
Thanks for calling in, Slick.
Coach K, great show, buddy. I'll see you. Bye-bye.
Hey, Mike, a couple more things before we let you go. I want to ask a question. Going into your senior year, and then I want to talk a little bit about in college, and then we'll let you go. And you've been so generous with your time, and I certainly appreciate it. Your senior year, you decided to forego your football and concentrate on basketball and baseball with the idea that you were probably going to go on and play basketball at the University of Kentucky or some university who had shown a lot of interest. Take us through, if you can, you don't have to go deep into it, but your decision, when you made that. And then I just want to comment on still how many college football teams were still interested in you when you didn't even play your senior year. But go through for our listeners just kind of your decision, how you looked at it back then.
And Joe can tell you this because it was very difficult for me to do it just because of all the teammates and great friends I had that played football. And, you know, we played baseball with guys all through Pony League in high school, and then you play peewee football, and you play high school and freshman and JV and varsity. And, then, you know, it was a thing where I had, maybe 30, 40, 50 offers for basketball, and IU and Purdue and Louisville were the only three schools that offered me for football. And it just got to the point where, like, you know, I don't even really know if I have a great reason or why I did it. It was just the thought that when I looked at it, I can even remember writing down on a piece of paper, okay, here's the offers for basketball, here's the offers for football. I want to play baseball, too, if they'll let me. And, you know, I just thought to myself, you know, my dad was a huge Kentucky fan. He did so much for me. I always thought Kentucky, but if someone else, you know, I also thought of Louisville. I also thought of Purdue. I also thought of, you know, some other schools, Michigan. But it just seemed like it made sense for that one year, you know, if I really wanted to do this, which I had in my heart that I thought basketball I loved more than anything, if I really wanted to do it, just concentrate that last year. Now, if I had to do it over, there's no way I would do it because, you know, if you're good enough in any sport, somebody will find you. You know, some school will find you and make you an offer. You just have to play, you know. But if you don't play, they can't find you. And, you know, I know it's a little different now, especially in basketball, because most kids are seen more in the summertime in AAU tournaments than they are seen during their basketball season with their high schools. But it was different then 30 years ago. And it was difficult because I love football. Coach Brewer, I mean, his record speaks for himself for what he did for not only Jasper but the state of Indiana as far as teaching football and winning games. But, you know, Coach May I just really felt senior year, it was an important year for me. We hadn't won the sectional in 2 years. Coach May, I just knew, was going to be a great coach for me and for the rest of us. And I just one time wanted to concentrate and take that time and become as good a basketball player as I could be, and that's kind of why I did what I did.
Well, I can tell our listeners that you did take the time and work on it because I was in that gym many times with you when you were working out.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
It wasn't wasted
time.
Time.
Whole fall, man. You, Donnie, and me, Donnie and Dean Murder. I mean, how many summers did we go over there that summer when I wasn't, you know, that whole month of August until school started and half of July? We'd run into that new gym, you know, the four of us, and just play and play and play. And that's, I think, has much to do with some of the success we had our senior year as anything.
Now you still had some interest from a school or two, even though you didn't play football your senior year. Maybe I'm inaccurate on this, but didn't you still have some interest from some schools that still wanted you to come play football?
Well, it's the funniest thing about that. Kirk Herbstreit, who works for ESPN, used to live across the street from me. And when he lived in Columbus, he moved to Nashville a couple of years ago. And, of course, a lot of kids nowadays don't know Lee Corso as being the coach for Louisville and IU. They just know him as the funny guy on TV that puts the costumes on at the end of the show. But when he was at IU, even after I transferred from UK, and came home, he called me up and said, Mike, if you still want a full ride to play football at IU, just come on. You know, just come. I know you haven't played in a couple of years, but you can redshirt for a year. We'll lift some weights. We'll throw the ball, and we'll get you ready. And also, I'd had after my freshman or before I went off to Kentucky to play basketball my freshman year. I can't remember the guy's name at Purdue, but somebody at Purdue called and said, "Look, you know, I know you're headed there, and you've already signed a scholarship. But if you change your mind, you've got to call us because we'd love to have you." You know, come back down and you know, we'll redshirt you and so on and so forth. So I had some interest even not playing my senior year. And it, you know, it was just football was – and, of course, I don't know how it is now. I really don't because I haven't seen anybody play in Jasper in a long time because it's just hard to get there. But everything was so important. The Friday night football games were important, the basketball, the baseball. And so it was just hard to not play. I mean, it was so odd my senior year – to not play a sport in the fall because I'd been doing it since, you know, seventh grade at what the heck is our middle school name? At 10th Street. Yeah.
10th Street.
Yeah, 10th Street. So it was just so hard to not have to have a fall where I wasn't playing something. But it was, you know, it was a wonderful time, and I just wish every kid that ever decides to do anything, soccer, band, cheerleading, whatever it is, just do it. You know, participate in your school. Get involved and just, you know, you make friends and you do things. And, of course, you know, here we are talking, you know, for however long we talked about this. If I hadn't played this, we wouldn't be able to, you know, tell lies and tell everybody how great we were.
Yeah. Hey, you know, another thing that a lot of people probably don't remember but was one of the interesting aspects of your career, and it just seemed to follow you that way. You're an Indiana All-Star in basketball. You're playing in the state finals in baseball, and it's pretty much going on all at the same time. Take us through that weekend. You guys had this great semi-state in baseball. We talked with Mike Berger about that a few weeks, about four shows ago. You guys go on. You're playing in the state finals. What a wonderful time that was for baseball and Coach Howard. And you're trying to prepare for the Indiana All-Star Basketball Series with Kentucky.
Well, the sad part about it is I probably pitched as poorly as I could pitch in the state finals that year when we got beat. I think Joe would remember. I think it might have been 6-5 to one of the Fort Wayne teams, I think.
Fort Wayne. No.
And if I'd have pitched better at all, I think we would have been in the finals. And I much would have rather been in the finals that night than play in the All-Star game. But what happened, it just so happened the timing was when you're on the Indiana All-Star team, you play one game, I guess at then it was at Market Square Arena, and then the next weekend you played at Freedom Hall in Louisville. And it just so happened that the weekend that we were in Indianapolis for the Final Four baseball was also the Saturday night game of Indiana versus Kentucky at Market Square. And so I had every intention of not playing because obviously I wanted us to be playing in the Saturday night game to win the state in baseball. But when we lost in the morning or early afternoon, whenever that was, I don't remember how it was, but somebody got in touch with my dad and said, look, we want Mike to play. You know, we've got his uniform. Just come on over. So my dad and I just drove from the baseball. I changed clothes in the car, and we just drove over. And I just showed up like an hour before the game. And, you know, I hadn't seen any of those guys because that week that we were practicing for the state baseball, they were practicing in Indianapolis for the game. So they didn't really think I was coming. So I showed up, and, you know, the guy, Vincent Gunnar Wyman, was the head coach, and he was nice enough to play me quite a bit that game, even though I hadn't practiced all week. So, obviously, it was a fun time, but at the same time, I much would have rather waited the next week and played in Louisville and played in the state finals because we had such a great team, and so many of those guys on the team that year, baseball, my senior year, we all played so many years of Pony League together, played in the national finals, and in Davenport, Iowa, when we were eighth graders. And, you know, so many of those guys, Bo, Danny Schutt. I mean, there's so many of those guys. When you talk about Mike Berger, how great a player he was, and Joe, and what we had, Schutz, he played right field, John Crimp, Scott Sager, Gip, Phil Sheeter, caught, Chinesky played third. I mean, we just had such a great team, and so many of those guys we've known for all the years playing Pony League. It was so great that weekend, but also so disappointing. If I'd have pitched better on Saturday afternoon, I know we would have had a heck of a chance to win Saturday night because John would have thrown for us, your brother, and would have done a great job. So we would have been, you know, even in better shape for the night game.
Well, you carried us enough with your pitching. We knew maybe we should have hit a little bit better.
you know what? If somebody would have said before the game started, Mike, we're going to score five runs, I'd be like, look, go ahead and buy a ticket for Saturday night games because we're going to win.
That's the confidence you have to have. I mean, that's why you're playing in the finals to begin with because you've got that kind of confidence as a team and as a player.
It was just disappointing that we scored five runs and I couldn't hold it. It was just sad, just really sad. But I'm not bitter, of course.
you go on and you finish a great high school career in all three sports and all state, all-star in just about everything you can be in. And you go on and you get the coveted scholarship to the University of Kentucky, Joe B. Hall. Let's face it, back then, even today, as it is today, I mean, that was primo scholarship. That was a primo opportunity, Wildcat Lodge, everything that goes with being a Kentucky basketball player.
Well, you know, it was wonderful. And I the biggest thing I regret about my time there is I was so obsessed with getting there or getting somewhere, you know, getting to Louisville or Michigan or Kansas State or Arkansas because I just wanted to play college basketball. And the mistake I made when I got there, I became satisfied and I just like, okay, I'm here. That's it. I've accomplished what I want to accomplish. And instead of like, you know, continuing to work hard and try to get better, I was just happy to be along for the ride. And it was a mistake I made. It took me a couple of years to figure it out. And, you know, the tough thing about college, no matter what sport it is, it can be soccer, tennis, whatever it is, you're playing against your teammates now are also the best players on their team.
Yeah.
You know, they were the best players in the county. They were the best players in the state. And so next thing you know, you've got 13 other teammates that were, you know, as good or better or a lot better than you. And then now it's the same way with the teams that you're playing, the same kind of competition. So if you don't continue to work and step up and if you become satisfied, it becomes a struggle. And that's what it became until I figured it out. But, you know, I was lucky to play two sports at both UK and Western. I played basketball and baseball. I traveled. I saw Japan twice. I went to Mexico City and played for a couple different years. You know, and it was all because, and I believe this with all my heart, it was all because of, you know, the experience at Jasper of playing all those sports and the community support you had so much to do with what happened later on in my life.
Okay, last question, I promise. I keep saying it's going to be
one or two questions,
because this is the most asked and discussed when it comes to Mike Ballinger, and it has to do with baseball. You went on to play some baseball in college. The question that I get most often is, well, didn't he get drafted, or did he not, or did he have arm problems? Take us through the end of your baseball career, at least. What happened? Was there another opportunity to go be professional, or did the arm injury kind of clarify that for our listeners and put that to rest today?
Probably the closest I got to pros when I was, in fact, I saw this guy on TV the other night because ESPN did a special on Bo Jackson. They talked to a guy named Art Stewart, who at the time was head of scouting for Kansas City Royals. Before my senior year was over of baseball, Kansas City Royals came to me and said, look, we know you have a scholarship to Kentucky. What would it take for you to give up that scholarship and have us draft you as an 18-year-old kid and start playing professional baseball? And I, you know, without really having any idea, I didn't have anybody else to talk to. I just thought to myself, at that time, a scholarship is worth $10,000 a year. So I said, look, a four-year scholarship is $40,000. I said, if you offer a $50,000 signing bonus, I'll take it, and I won't go to college, and I'll start playing minor league baseball. And they came back, and they came back maybe 2 days later and said $30,000. And I said, no, that's not enough. I'm going to school. So I ended up going to Kentucky, played, and now at the end of my career, I had some scouts talk to me, but the problem was I was already 22, and, you know, that's really old in baseball to start a career in the minor leagues because they think it's going to take 4 or 5 years of minor league baseball unless you're just, you know, some phenomenal player. They always say it's going to take 4 or 5 years to get through the system, which now makes me 27, 28 years old. And, you know, by then they think that's just, you know, they don't want to invest that type of money in an older guy when they can, you know, groom some guy at 18 and he'd call him out when he's 21 or 22. So that, I just ran into an age. And I mean, I threw, you know, in college, I got to the low 90s, 90, 91, but I just never really got it where, you know, it was impressive enough that somebody would give me a chance. So I technically was never, I never had arm problems in my life. I never, I'll tell you what, Kenny, the only time I remember ever my arm hurting is my, and you'll appreciate it, my junior year, I pitched in a regional game on a Saturday. We lost, and I went and played softball on a Sunday with B&G at St. Anthony's, and I remember my arm hurting that day, and it was just because I had pitched the day before, and then that next day I started throwing softball around. But other than that, I never had an arm problem at all, never in my life. And, you know, my last year I pitched, started the whole year for Western, had some good games, had some scouts talk to me, but nothing ever really happened. So it was just a situation where I just, you know, and you know what's, I, of all the things that I regret the most, I saw Michael play a little bit, Lewis. I could not believe how great of a player he was. I mean, I enjoyed watching you, you coach him and the way you guys played, and I never got a chance to see Scott play baseball or basketball. You know, I just, it, you know, my dad would always keep me up. I think I was living in Louisiana or Texas at the time, so I hardly ever got home. But I just remember Dad keeping up with, you know, he would talk, tell me about it because he would go to the games. And he, I just, you know, the size of Scott and the shooting ability of Michael is just two things I wish I would have seen, because I just know both of them were just fabulous. And I think they would say some of the same things I said today about the Jasper community. I mean, I just, it's just, it's everything that a kid would want if he wants to experience high school sports at its best is to be a part of the Jasper community. I truly believe that.
Well, it is, and they would say the same things. And I, for me, when people talk to me about my time coaching and playing with you, I just say that I was blessed to arguably play and coach the three greatest basketball players at Jasper High School. I got to play with you. I got to coach Scott Rowland and Michael Lewis. And see their development and be a part of it. And the thing that's interesting, they all had a strength of conviction the same way you did. They were all independent, individual in the way they looked at things. And I think that's very important. They were easy. A lot of people don't they were easy to work with. And I know you were easy to work with as a player with your coaches. And they were too. But they were fierce competitors. And the one thing that people may forget about you, you were no little guy. You were 6'3", almost 6'4", 190, 195 pounds. And it was a pleasure playing with you. And it's just been a great pleasure having you on the show today, Mike. I think a lot of people have wanted to find out and talk about Mike Ballinger. And today I think we got that and more.
Well, guys, look, I appreciate it very much that you reached out to me. I'm very happy to do it today. Anytime that you, you know, you can't get a guest on, you need a last, you know, a stopgap last guy, just call me. I'd be happy to talk and tell lies like we've told today. But I just appreciate, I wish you guys all the luck in the world with the show. I know it's going well. I mean, I was disappointed to miss the ceremony at the 100-year thing. I was lucky through Slick. He sent some a link where I was able to see a lot of the pictures and see a lot of the people that you know, have meant a lot to me playing. And I just appreciate so much being on the show. I hope people enjoyed it, and it was as good experience for me as it was for you guys, and I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for being
thanks,
with Mike. Us, Mike. Great blessings and luck as you go forward with those little guys. I know I still have a sixth grader, and he thinks he wants to be a basketball player, so we're going to have a lot of fun like you're going to have a lot of fun these next few years. Thanks for being on the show.
Appreciate it, guys. Talk to you soon.
You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company, A fence for every taste and budget.
You were in Nam, so were we. Where?
I was in Dang Bang, Dangang. I was all over that place, basically. A lot of places.
What unit were you in?
I was with the Green Beret, Special Unit Battalion, Commando Airborne Tactics, Specialist Tactics Unit Battalion. Yeah, it was real hush-hush. I was Agent Orange. That was my name, Agent Orange, Special Agent Orange. That was me.
Airborne, huh?
I can see! I have legs!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Yeah, we're back. We're back with Coach K and Joe Show, and we're going to our Glory Days segment, and it's going to be pretty exciting. You come into this, and you got a Spicoli introduction before the Glory Days song, and I had a few Spicolis when I was teaching in class, but they all grew up to be great young men and adults and dads. So we're back at the Coach K and Joe Show, and our guest for the Glory Days segment is somebody that I just loved playing sports with in high school and watching play, and more than just his ability on the court, on the field, on the baseball diamond, was the great smile and the dimples he always carried with him. He's always in a good mood, at least on the outside. We want to welcome to the show in our Glory Days segment, Mr. Mike Berger. Mike, are you with us?
I am, Coach. How are you doing?
Hey, it's great to hear from you, Mike. Before we get talking about all your wonderful accomplishments on the diamond, football field, basketball court, why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're at now, your family, and what you're doing?
Sure. I've lived in St. Louis now for 20 years. I'm married to my wife, Shannon, and I'm a State Farm agent over here. I've been a State Farm agent for a little over 16 years, and I've got a junior in high school, Jake, and a 14-year-old daughter, an eighth grader, Ellie. And Jake's a baseball player, and Ellie is a tennis player. So, you know, we're just doing great. Love coming back to Jasper as often as we can, and especially Strassenfest and Thanksgiving, and everything over here is going great.
Well, man, it's great to have you, and you know, I want you to. Don't be nervous, Mike. I know you're live, but we just have a show. We have a little fun and talk sports and just the direction things are going. You know, I think one of the interesting things that I'd like to start with, question-wise, is when you go back to your high school period, today, and you have a son, Jake, that's playing baseball, and I see it with the young people today. It gets a little more specialized than it was, but you look back at a Mike Berger, and here's Mike Berger who played baseball and started and excelled, who played football, started several positions and excelled, played basketball, started and excelled. You don't see that a whole lot anymore. And, Mike, when you look back at that and you look at the three sports that you excelled in and going from one to the other and using the different skills and using the different muscle memories. I mean, do you ever look back and say, wow, you know, three different sports, how did I get through all that and to have that kind of success?
Well, you know, I mean, things obviously are just so different now. And you know, I think that you see there's so many more overuse injuries today than there were when we were kids, and I think a lot of that can be attributed to, you know, having the repetition of just doing a sport. I mean, if you're fortunate, you play two sports now, but by and large, I mean, most kids by the time they you know, they get to high school, certainly, and most of them before, you know, are playing one sport, and you know, I think that the, you know, the overuse injuries are a direct result of that, and I certainly, you know, at least over here in St. Louis, unless it's a very, very small school, there are very few three-sport athletes, and most of them are one sport with an occasional two. So, yeah, it's just it's certainly a lot different.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point, overuse injuries. And I think a lot of times we are seeing that, and I think we're seeing it in younger kids. You know, a lot of times having coached and things, I'll have parents will come up and say, well, what do you think about my son just playing AAU basketball, or, you know, my son's just going to play soccer all the time. And I really struggle with that in the grade school level. And I look back at a player like you, Mike Ballinger, the Joe Milligan, different people that we grew up back in the 80s, and just to remind people, you graduated in 82. You were a year behind me. You graduated with my brother Don. And it just seemed like we were always going from one sport to another, and even if we weren't playing an organized sport, man, we were out playing wiffle ball. We were out playing tag touch football. We were out doing something competitive and yet fun, and it wasn't always in an organized practice setting.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, we talk all about it. I coached Jake for 11 years in baseball over here. And, you know, and for the most part, and I was a big proponent of we would play maybe 40, 50 games in the summer, but we would practice significantly more because that's really where you get the, you know, the fundamental skill development. And it's just amazing to me, you know, to think back when, you know, when I was a 14-year-old, I probably played – you know, a 12-game schedule and then played maybe, you know, another five, if we were lucky, all-star games. But we would play 50 Sandlot games. And, you know, it's amazing how much more you learned, and not just from the sports standpoint of from the Sandlot, but you also learned some key life skills like conflict resolution. You know, you learned either how to resolve an argument with your buddies or you learned how to fight, you know, and it was it's a lot easier having a calm discussion and working it out and having a do-over, you know. And I think kids today, you know, I just don't think they get that because everything is so organized and structured. And you know, it's just, I don't know. I heard your previous guest talk about, you know, doing things, you know, for the kids, and that's, you know, that's really, I think to some extent we've gotten away from that, and everything has changed in that respect. And you know, I don't see it going back, but at the same time, I think we have to recognize that, you know, there's a lot about that that you sure wish you could bring back and give those kids that experience, because I think they'll learn a lot more than just the sports.
Mike, this is Joe. You know, just talking to you, you know, I haven't talked to you for a while, but it's funny how, you know, the connection from back when we were 13, 14 years old and we're gone for 2-3 weeks and playing high school football and baseball together. You know, talking to someone like you, talking to someone like John Kremp, talking to someone like you know, Mike Ballinger, the connection comes back right away. And the one thing I've always told people, my kids all know who Mike Berger is. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever met any of my kids, but I've always told them, though, that, you know, whenever the game was on the line, Mike Berger is the one you wanted up to bat, the one you wanted with the football in his hands. And, you know, if I remember right, in the sectional of 81, you know, Ballinger had fouled out, and, you know, who came up big? You and Dean Murder, you know. And if I'm not mistaken, were you sick that night?
Yeah, you know, I tell you know, my kids, you know, when you grow up in Jasper, you know, you grow up with, you know, with thinking about, you know, being a Jasper Wildcat, and certainly one of the big dreams as you're shooting baskets at the farm is winning a sectional championship. And so here it is in 81, and we at Jasper hadn't won one in a while, and we finally win one. And, you know, this is your moment to get, you know, to get hugs and kisses. And I had mono so bad, and I had this horrible, horrible rash, and my lips looked like, you know, they were duck lips. They were swelling so bad. And so people would run toward me, and then they would take one look at me and run the other way. So, you know, it was very sick, and you know, that's funny. But, you know, I was thinking, guys, you know, the great memories that I have, and, you know, Kenny was on that team and was out there on the floor with me, and then when we won the semi-state in baseball, you know, Joe, you caught the last ball standing right next to me, and so it just brings back some great memories.
Now,
if I remember
right, Mike, there are so many things that we can talk about in your career in high school and then moving on to college. And we do want to touch base on a few of them, but I think I remember after that sectional championship, you didn't run away from too many hugs and kisses. I think half the girls had mono the next week, if I remember correctly. So.
Well, you know, no comment.
Hey, you know, Joe brought up, you know, big clutch moments. And, you know, I can jump into your junior year, Jasper Wildcat baseball, Coach Ray Howard. I'm sure you have great memories of that team. You had outstanding player in Mike Ballinger. Man, you had so many characters on that team, from our own Joe to Phil Sheeter, Gip, to John Crimp, all those guys. And you guys were solid all the way through the season. You get into the semi-state championship game, bottom of the ninth, 3-2. You guys got to get the big hit. Mike Berger's up, and he hits it out of the park against a pretty darn good pitcher, I believe, in Derek Lindauer. Your memories of that game?
Yeah, you know, it's, again, one of those things as you grow up, and, you know, I saw a lot of Jasper High School baseball games growing up. My neighbor Danny Foose played, and so I would go watch. And so, you know, you kind of live for that moment, and we're so close in that game. And you know, we just – it was almost surreal as you're playing. And you know, we had a team that really was a group of guys that had played together in a Pony League All-Star thing, the tournament that Joe was talking about. And so we were a very tight-knit group. And so that in that game, you know, you think back of those times in the Pony League tournament and how many things were so similar. But as we got behind in that game, because we had been through so much as a group, you know, we never felt like we were out of it. Even when we go to the last inning, you know, we force extra innings. We were down 2-0, I believe, in the last inning, and really, you know, breathing, you know, gasping our last breath, and yet there was a calm in the dugout that I recall that, you know, we just never felt like we were out of it. And so, you know, when you have a group of guys like that who just genuinely believe in each other, you know, it's amazing, you know, the type of things like that comeback that you can accomplish. And so, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, you hit the home run, and you know, obviously it's a great feeling and a big moment. But more importantly than that, you really, you know, I really look back with fondness on just what a good group of guys that was, and how much we believed in each other. And so, you know, it's a great memory.
Well, you know, you mentioned Pony League and the similarities, and if I am getting old, but if I do recollect right, you did get the hit to win that as well. So, you know, I guess that's why whenever, you know, it was deja vu all over again. So when you were up to bat, I was very calm. I knew something big was going to come from Mike Berger. So,
well, but I do
remember you kissing a few people after the game too, though.
Oh gosh, that I don't remember.
And that had to be just a wonderful feeling, not just to win, to hit that home run in a big tournament game, but it was actually to vault us, Jasper, into the state finals for the first time since 1968. And we know Jasper baseball has gone on to get there and win it several times, but Coach Howard had done such a good job of building that program. He'd fallen short of just a couple times against some great teams. I can remember the Don Mattingly teams of Memorial took out some pretty good Jasper teams, which your neighbor, Danny Foose, was probably on, and then for you to be able to come back and do that. Let me switch gears to football, because I think you had an interesting career in football at Jasper High School. As a junior, you're playing quarterback. You're a great runner, not a bad passer. I think you might even kick some extra points, if I'm not mistaken. But your evolution in the backfield as a quarterback to a premier running back in the state of Indiana, what was that like during your sophomore into your junior season and then the evolution into your senior season on the football field?
Well, you know, as a sophomore, I actually was a slot back for Jasper. And so, you know, I played some running back back in seventh and eighth grade, and you know, always, I guess, you know, wanted to be a running back, but you know, I was willing to do whatever, you know, wherever Coach Brewer needed me. I was happy to play and help any way I could. And so played slot back, and you know, Mike Ballinger was a quarterback, and we had a pretty good connection, and were able to do some things. And then he decided going into his senior year that he wasn't going to play football. And so, and I think, I said there were like 10 guys in line, and they said whoever wants to play quarterback, step forward, and 9 guys step back, and I was still standing in the same place. And so I ended up as a quarterback that year. And you know, it was probably, through the high school career, probably the strangest year. We had a lot of weird injuries and illnesses, and it was just kind of a strange year. And, we battled through it and finished with a winning record when that was in doubt at one point. But, we even changed to an option-style offense for the last couple of games. It's just that was kind of year it was that, Coach Brewer would change an offense with 2 games to go in the season just because of all the injuries and illness. And so then we get to our senior year and actually started the first game, I think, as a quarterback, things just weren't, for whatever reason, we just weren't clicking, and so Coach Brewer decided to make a change halfway through the second game, and things just kind of worked from there. And we had such a good offensive line, and Tom Weidenbender, blocking as a fullback and a good runner himself, and it's just strange sometimes how a change just kind of, I guess, puts all the dominoes in place. And it was a great year and a great group of guys. And, for me, that senior group that I played with, we were pretty pedestrian as 7th and 8th graders, and just to see the development of that group and the success then we had as seniors, it was just, it was a special year, no question about it.
Yeah, you had a great group, and you had a tight group. Being a year younger and having a brother in your grade as well gave me a chance to see you guys and to see Scott and Roger Sager develop, and Tom Weidenbender, who went on to play a little football at Indiana University, Scott Roller, different people came up, and Coach Brewer and his staff saw where an adjustment needed to be made. And Mike, you really were just a great athlete, but you had a great nose and understanding for what to do and where to go with the ball. And I remember we were coming out in Jasper. Tony Ahrens had been the premier back and the person to follow. And of course, Tony's the head coach now and doing a great job. But you came in, and once you solidified yourself in that position, you brought strength. You were low to the ground. Your body was built. Even on the basketball court, it helped you defensively and cutting and moving on the basketball court. You had that low center of gravity, strong in the legs, strong in the shoulders, and you just had a great sense of where to go and when you got there, what to do with it.
Well, yeah, I think, there's a lot of times you try to explain. I've had people over the years ask, what it's like, or what do you see, and it's interesting. You have those physical attributes that I think make you hard to find in a mass of humanity. When you're 5'9" and built low to the ground, you're hard to get a hold of, and so without question, that's a real advantage for that particular position. And I think the other thing that it's hard to explain, but as I would run a football, things would. It would really be happening almost in slow motion. It's really hard to explain how you would just kind of see things develop, as they occur. And there's a lot of times where, and I don't know if it's a focus thing, that you get yourself to that level from a concentration standpoint or what, but it's almost, it seems like you're in a dream while you're running a football, and just a dream that's actually unfolding, where it's actually happening in front of you, and you're kind of able to see what's happening. It's a really hard thing to explain, but I think that coupled with the fact that you get in all those people and you're the littlest guy out there, one of the smallest guys, you're just hard to get a hold of.
Well, and that brings up an interesting point and really segue back to your baseball career. Scott Rowland, who played basketball for me in high school, as we've talked over the years, in his professional baseball career. That's what he talks about, that he could see that ball coming out of that pitcher's hand so clearly. He could see the rotation of the ball. It just slowed down. And I've heard Don Mattingly talk about that. And I know as in basketball, and at times I could be a pretty decent shooter, you just have a sense of where the basket is. And it didn't matter the size, or it doesn't matter who's on you. You just get that sense of where it is, and you know where to go with the shot and how to finish. And in your baseball career, you get done with high school. I mean, you literally are a three-sport, not just letter winner, but star. And you were, Mike. And I know you're a pretty humble guy and everything, but you really were. And it's time to go on to college. Talk to us a little bit about where you were on football or baseball, and you end up choosing baseball, and you go on to U of E with Coach Brownlee. Talk to us a little bit about that decision-making time and what led you where you went to.
Well, you know, it was really, you know, it's an interesting thing where, you know, I absolutely loved playing football. And so you kind of get to that decision point, and there's an element of it. You know, I felt like, you know, at that point you don't know what the future is going to be, and so I think you factor in, you know, would I like to do something after college? Would I like to play at the professional level? And, you know, I think any kid would say when he's a senior in high school. I mean, I don't know many that wouldn't answer that question yes. And so, you know, you do an analysis, and you really, you know, ultimately come down to, you know, do I have a better chance, you know, to do something with baseball and than football? And I think obviously that answer would be yes. And so, you know, that really was a very hard decision, and you know, it was a really hard thing. I played in the, you know, and it's hard to talk about it, but you played in the North-South All-Star game, and when I walked off the field in football, and when I walked off the field, you know, and I think I was the only one on both teams that wasn't going on to play football somewhere. And so, you know, it really slaps you in the face that, man, that part of your life is over, you know. But at the same time, you know, very excited to go on to Evansville and play baseball and pursue that baseball dream. And I played for a great coach. I just saw Coach Brownlee a few weeks ago on a recruiting trip with my son. And, you know, it was a great experience. And you know, really was, at the time, Evansville, as I went there, was just kind of, they were at that fork in the road. And, you know, from there, I really, you know, always take pride in the fact that I feel like I was on the cutting edge, I guess, or in the leading edge of that program really becoming a, you know, a really good baseball program, and now competing in the Missouri Valley, and, you know, had a lot of great teams, a lot of great success. And so, you know, it certainly wasn't an easy decision to give up something that I love so much. But at the same time, you know, a big factor was being hopeful that, you know, that it may go to the next level from there.
I don't think there's any doubt that you were a major part of that. And I know as time went on, your brother Jim would go to U of E and play with Andy Bennis. My brother John would go to U of E. Number of Jasper players, solid players, went on to U of E, and I think you really helped to open the recruiting door for that. And as I was coaching, Coach Brownlee was also a basketball official for a while, and I would have him in a couple games, and we'd talk about that connection with the door opening and the great career you had at U of E, and really how you opened the door to bring some other outstanding players and build today what is. It's a solid program. It's had a number of kids, players going to the major leagues, a great stadium and Bronze Stadium right now. And you should take have a lot of pride in the fact that you were a part of that. Mike, as we end this segment, I just wanted to tell you that what a pleasure it has been to talk to you, but also what a pleasure it was to grow up around you and to play athletics with you. I always felt like you had this great work ethic. I know your parents owned a farm, and you guys worked awfully hard on that farm, but they supported you in everything. I can remember Little League Baseball and the blue aluminum bat that you used to have. You would knock them out of the park down at Little League. But it was always a pleasure to play with you and watch your brother Jim play, because you guys were humble, and yet you showed enthusiasm, you showed a great effort. You were team players. and you understood how important it was to win, but to win together. And it was really a pleasure.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. You know, I joke sometimes with my kids that, you know, it's amazing how easy it is to go to practice and to, you know, do all the work and have that great work ethic when, you know, your alternative is go do farm work. So, you know, you tended to relish, you know, every second you had with just playing the game and being with your teammates, because you know, you knew that you know, if you didn't do well or you know, didn't work at it, then you know, there was something else waiting for you back at home. So you know, kiddingly saying that, but you know, I've been very fortunate. I'll always cherish those times in Jasper, and you know, guys like you two and so many others that were just such great teammates, and you know, just provided so many great memories.
Well, Mike, we're going to end this segment. Again, thanks for being with us. Remember, for your friends over in St. Louis area, this is podcast and archive, so they can listen to this and learn a little bit more about Mike Berger. Jake and Ellie, I'm sure, will love to hear about their dad. So thanks for being with us, Mike.
All right, appreciate you guys having me. Good luck with the show.
You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
That boy is a P.I.G. pig.
See if you can guess what I am now. I'm a zit. Get it?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And that'll do it for this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I hope you enjoyed Mitch Stetter, Mike Ballinger, and Mike Berger as much as we did. And we'll be back with you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show. So until next week, I'm Joe Milligan. Have a great weekend.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Join us next Friday from 11 to 1 for the next show. Until then, visit www.jaspertodayonline.com or go to iTunes to listen to podcasts of past shows. See you next week.